This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Early voting for the Texas primary elections starts tomorrow, February 20th. Primary election day is March 6th. These are intra-party races to see who will be on the ballot for the general election on November the 6th. Today, we're hearing from the candidates for district attorney, the advocate for the state and victims of crime in Bexar County. Democrat Nicola Hood is defending the seat that he's occupied for one term. He has a Democratic challenger, Joe Gonzalez. There's one Republican in the DA primary, Tilden Schaefer. He will face the winner in the Democratic primary. That's in November, but we've got all three with you this afternoon. You, the listener, gets to ask the questions. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Now, we're taking issue-driven questions that are open to all the candidates, not questions pointed at a single candidate. Also, callers, if you start making a speech or making accusations, I'm going to have to cut you off, so let's not do that. And for the candidates, if you make a direct accusation at another candidate, we're going to cut you off too, and then they're going to give that candidate a chance to respond, 30 seconds to respond. And we hope this incentivizes a chill conversation about the issues of Bexar County. Again, you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're also on Facebook Live, and your questions there, you can comment your questions and we'll bring them on the air. Now, each candidate is going to get a minute to for all these answers. We're going to start off with opening remarks, a minute each. We drew lots earlier to decide what order we're going to go in, and we're going to go round robin from there on with the questions. And so Tilden Schaefer, the Republican candidate for the Bexar County District Attorney, you drew number one. So, sir, you get to go first. Introduce yourself to the listeners.
Thank you, David, and good afternoon. My name is Tilden Schaefer, and I'm the Republican candidate for DA. I will be a straight-talking chief prosecutor with a fair and steady temperament. I am the candidate for this office because I have 9 years of experience as a prosecutor in Bexar County, where I quickly rose to the rank of chief felony trial attorney, trying over 150 jury trials, many of them violent crimes and many of them significant cases. I've spent the past 17 years in private practice representing individuals and businesses throughout Texas and this community, where I've gained valuable experience both the federal, state, and juvenile court systems. I'm board certified in criminal law, and I will use this experience to make our neighborhood safer for our children and our families, to better protect our elderly from fraud, to look for better ways to deal with mental illness, which is so much on our minds. I was born in Texas. I was raised here. I raised my children. I'm asking for your vote.
All right. Now, number two, we go to Nicola Hood, the incumbent.
Hi, I've been honored to be serving as your district attorney for the last 3+ years, and I'm very proud of the work that we've done in the office. We, meaning there's 474 employees. I do nothing by myself. There's over 200 prosecutors, 201 as of last week, to be specific. And it's unfortunate that my opponents are running on and they're campaigning on things that we've already done in the office the last 3 years. I can talk about a list of them, but we only have a minute here. Restorative justice programs have been expanded like never before in Bexar County, pretrial diversion, not only in misdemeanor, but in the felony level. Cite and release program that takes a long time to get actually programmed and organized has been released finally, and people are excited about it, and we believe it's a cite and release program that is the best one in the state, if not the country. The conviction integrity unit, I've talked about that many times before, that we need to make sure that we have good lawful convictions and make sure that innocent people are not accused and punished. I'm a modern-day prosecutor. I've been leading this office for over 3 years, and I'm proud of the work that we're going to do, and I'll never apologize for protecting your children and your grandchildren, making this community safer. Thank you.
All right, Nicola Hood, and now we go to Democratic challenger Joe Gonzalez. Sir, you have a minute.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. First, I want to apologize. I'm talking with a bit of laryngitis this morning, but I'm going to try and get through this. I am celebrating 30 years as a criminal law practitioner. The first 8 of those 30 years I spent as a former prosecutor. I worked under 3 different administrations. I have extensive experience as a former prosecutor, which I think is the difference between my Democratic opponent and myself. I am running on my experience. I am running on platform issues of bringing true reform to the office. The restorative justice that you see today is not enough. I plan to bring more restorative justice. I'd like to increase the diversionary programs. I think we need a revamping of the bail bond system. And those are a couple of issues in addition to focusing on violent crime, to making our streets safer. So together with your help, I ask for your support. I ask for your vote. I'm a native San Antonian, and I ask that you vote in the Democratic Party for Joe Gonzalez.
All right, now let's go to the questions, and we're going round robin. So, Nicola Hood, you will be going first with the question. And I'm going to ask you, what is it about your particular party? Why are you, in this case, you're a Democrat, and Joe Gonzalez is a Democrat, and Tilden, you're a Republican. If you can explain, why are you the party that you are?
Well, I grew up in a time where the Democratic Party ask the question, don't ask what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country. So it's a party of service, serving others, that was truly inclusive, that you could lean conservative and be a blue dog, or lean a little liberal and be a yellow dog, but no matter what, you were the underdog. So the Democratic Party, to me, represented the underdog, the David versus Goliath, against all odds. I think that was exhibited exactly perfectly when I took on my incumbent, being the DA for 16 years. Nobody could beat her. With all due respect to my opponents, they complained about the previous administration also, but didn't step up to the plate. I did twice because I had a calling. I heard a calling from the community and overcame all odds. And now I've been proud for the 3 years that we've been doing and serving the community.
All right. And now we go to Joe Gonzalez. Joe Gonzalez, sir, can you tell me why you are a Democrat?
Yes, sir. I'm running as a true Democrat because my philosophy and my belief mirrors the closest to the Democratic Party. Nicola Hood has gone on conservative radio and he's talked about being a conservative guy. He says, I'm a conservative guy, you know that. The positions that he's taking on gun control, the positions that he's taken on immigration, the positions that he's taken on other issues, more in line with the Republican Party. And that's part of the message that I bring to the voters. I am running because I'm a true Democrat. One of the issues that keeps coming up time and time again is this issue of sanctuary cities. I believe in sanctuary cities. I believe that there should be a pathway to citizenship in this country. And that's one of the issues that I think distinguishes myself and my opponent.
All right, and now we go to Tilden Schaefer, and you're the Republican running in the primary. Can you talk about why you are a Republican?
Well, David, you know, having raised a couple of children, having been a former prosecutor, and now representing individuals in this community for the past 17 years, I've come to the conclusion that what my parents taught me rings true. You have to be tough on crime. Now, that doesn't mean you're tough in every situation and you're never compassionate, but I want to use the example of Rudy Giuliani in New York. New York was a mess years ago, and they started with tough prosecution of the minor crimes. And you know what happened in New York City? It got a lot better. That's why I'm a Republican. I believe in the law. I believe in enforcing the law, and I believe in that there are consequences for people's actions. But you can yet still be compassionate in the right case.
Okay, now we got a caller from our voicemail line. And Joe Gonzalez, you're going to go first on responding to this. This is from our voicemail.
My name is David, and I just would like to see what the candidates have to say about how a district attorney or any candidate running for public office, what they think about the person's demeanor and how their constituents view them, as far as the way that they carry themselves and how they interact with them.
Okay, and so Joe Gonzalez, I want to remind you that don't make accusations, don't point the finger at other people. We're just talking about what's important to issues, okay? But, you know, let's go, you have a minute.
Well, that's one of the hallmark platform issues for me is the demeanor and the temperament of the lead prosecutor, because he does lead a number of prosecutors. He's got 200 or so prosecutors that he runs in that office, and they look to him for leadership in terms of temperament and demeanor. So I absolutely think that it's important. Since one of the ground rules is not to get into specifics, I will tell you, though, that I do believe that there has to be some improvement in that office, and that the lead prosecutor has a responsibility to be courteous and be professional.
Okay, then. So let's go to Tilden Schaefer, you're next, sir. What about the importance of demeanor in the office?
David, it's critical. Current events right now make it very clear that we need someone in the office who is someone that the public can trust, someone with the background, the experience, and expertise. These are all things that go into making the DA the DA. This is a difficult job. You are bombarded on a daily basis with life or death decisions. You can't afford to learn on the job. The demeanor has everything to do with how your prosecutors conduct themselves in court. And quite frankly, I think in these times with the violence that we're seeing, the public needs a DA that they can implicitly trust, someone they don't have to worry about, but rather this should be a position of strength, not something that we're worried about.
Okay. All right. Now we go to Nico LaHood. And just a reminder, this means you have 30 seconds. This is 45 seconds. When I go like that, when I put my hand all the way up, that means it's time to wrap it up. Okay.
Got it. Yes, sir.
All right. So you go for it. Nico LaHood, you have a minute.
Well, the only people that are afraid of me are sex offenders and child abusers and child pornographers and people that commit murder. I think you can ask anyone in the office. I've been on TV plenty of times. I've been on the radio with you, David, many times on tough subjects. I've done 3 debates, and they all been, I think, recorded. And so one of them's on YouTube. You can look at yourself, and you can look at people's demeanor. This is a tough job. And with all due respect to my opponents, they've never run the office. They've never flown the plane. They've been working inside of the plane. There's a huge difference. So 2 decades ago, they both worked inside the plane. They didn't fly the plane 2 decades ago. I'm a modern day prosecutor. It's a tough job. I deal with evil on a daily basis. And there needs to be a balance. And I think anyone in the office and people that know me know that my demeanor is appropriate for the situation. I always respond to the situation appropriately. And I stand on that. And like I said, I think there's numerous people that can attest to that.
All right, then. Okay, now let's go on to our phone lines are open. If you got a question for the candidates, fire away, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And we want open-ended questions, not accusations, not things directed at specific candidates. So let's talk about capital punishment and where you would stand on the use of capital punishment, or when would you decide to use it or not use it. And now the first response goes to Tilden Schaefer. Go ahead, sir.
Capital punishment is one of the tools of a DA, and that is something that must be used in the right circumstance, in the right case. And again, you have to go back to someone who has actual knowledge and experience in this area. I have helped put 2 men on death row. I have been through that experience. I have tried innumerable murders and other capital murders where we did not seek the death penalty.
Okay.
This is a critical tool, but it must be used wisely, clearly. But you need someone who's been there and done that. I don't know how else you can possibly prosecute effectively.
All right, Tilden Schaefer, and now we go to Nico LaHood. And how do you decide when or when not to use the death penalty?
Well, I believe in the responsible use of the death penalty. I've said that many times over. I set up a system in the office of checks and balances because I believe wisdom is found in the counsel of many. I make death and life decisions every day. I mean, opponents are talking about trying cases. We've all tried a bunch of cases, but I make decisions on that. And we've set up a system of numerous people in the office looking at these cases individually by themselves under modern standards because the law changed. Capital life used to be you do 40 years and then you're eligible for parole. Now capital life is you will pass away in prison. That's a big deal. I make decisions every week, and I really decide more on life, meaning capital life, over death, but I absolutely make death decisions every day. My primary opponent just at the debate last week said he will no longer use the death penalty. He thinks it's racist. We can discuss that later, and he can speak for himself. But I think it's on video, and I think that's a wrong way, and that's a wrong message to send out there. I think it needs to be used sparingly. It needs to be used very, very carefully, and there needs to be checks and balance. And we have that set up in this office.
All right. Joe Gonzalez, a challenger Democrat for district attorney. Where are you on the use of the death penalty?
Well, what Nico was talking about is a response to a quick, rapid question series where there was a yes or no question. And my response was that I would not commit to always using the death penalty, and here's why. Let me be very clear about my position. There are circumstances that deserve the death penalty. However, the problem is with the potential for a wrongful conviction. The Innocence Project, for example, has exonerated over 150 defendants involving wrongful convictions. And after 30 years, I've learned that people can get it wrong. And the problem is death is final. So here's my problem. In its present state, the death penalty process is flawed, and I am not willing to risk making a mistake and sending the wrong person to death erroneously. However, I do reserve the right to seek the death penalty when and if that system is ever improved.
Okay, so let me just clarify, because you have earlier went on the record saying that you would not use the death penalty, but now you're saying that you would in some circumstances.
That's correct. Again, it was a yes or no response. And so there are qualifiers, and the qualifier is that there are cases, there are times when the death penalty is appropriate. But it's got to be at a case-by-case basis, and my position would be that...
Okay, we got it. So now it's kind of a maybe. All right, so now let's go to a caller question, and this is Ashley. And Ashley, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much. I just had a question for all the candidates. I wonder if they could explain or elaborate on any previous or existing relationships they have with pro or profit prisons in Texas.
Okay. All right, Ashley, thank you for the question. And Nicola Hood goes first. The question is, do you have a relationship, and I don't know what that means, with profit prisons in Texas? And if you work for Bexar County, then you do, because we do use profit prisons sometimes. So, but... personally, I don't, you know.
You don't. I mean, the DA's office works with, synergistically with a lot of different agencies, the 47 law enforcement agencies around Bexar County, with nonprofits. We work with probation, juvenile probation. We work with the judicial branch, the judges. We work a lot with commissioners' courts, because one thing that my opponents don't grasp, and we can talk about this at the right time, is that the DA's office is the civil lawyer for the commissioners for the county. We have 12 attorneys in that section, and we do all the contracts, all the tax abatements, things of that nature. But we don't deal directly with prisons or jails. Now, we obviously look at jail population. We work with the sheriff on that and the chief on different issues. But we don't have any personal direct relationship or an interest in any of the jails.
All right. Now, let's go to Joe Gonzalez. Do you have a real connection or anything to say about the use of for-profit prisons?
Well, that's part of the problem with Nico and the Hood's administration, is that he came to this job without any real work-life experience. And the difference between he and Mr. Schaefer and myself is we both have federal licenses. I don't believe that Nico has a federal license. I've never seen him in federal court. I've got 3 federal licenses. If he did, he would know that.
Okay, so you're asking him, so we need to get a response. Yeah. If you ask him a direct question, that's it. And now let's get a response from Nico really quick. You have a federal license?
I do have a federal license.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
That's settled. All right, now let's go over to Tilden Schaefer. And where are you on? Do you have a connection with private prisons?
No connection with private prisons or prisons. I've never been to prison. But I think this is an issue in some other areas and other jurisdictions where there is serious overcrowding of the jails. And so what you're finding is that these other counties are having to ship out their defendants at great cost to the taxpayer. I would note that right now our jail is busting at the seams. I've got a trial tomorrow, and I've gone 4 times, twice this past Saturday, to see my client. But there's so many incidences, and they call these alerts in the jail where they shut it down because things are going on that is causing problems. So, but we don't have profit prisons in this state system. The federal system does, until they build the new courthouse.
And also, it's the sheriff's responsibility for the running and operations of the jail. That's not the district attorney's job. Okay,
correct.
Let's go to a question that we've got from Twitter with Michael. Are any of the candidates getting money, campaign money, from the NRA? And so, Joe Gonzalez, you can respond to that and elaborate if you'd like.
I am not getting any money from the NRA. Do never intend to get money from the NRA. If they ever reach out to me, I will absolutely turn down any money from that organization.
Okay. And Tilden Schaefer, sir, are you getting money from the NRA?
No, and I haven't received any large sums from any other single individuals either.
And Nico LaHood, do you receive money from the NRA?
I have not received any money from the NRA.
Okay, here's a question from a caller, and this is Javier. Javier, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a question. I had seen a while back on PBS, they were talking about a program that's implemented in, I think it was Washington, D.C. or something, where they had people who were arrested and normally would have been, had incurred a heavy fine or a heavy bail in order to secure their showing up for court cases on various charges. And the program there instead was to just get their promise, their singular promise to show up since the bail would have been
right.
Really,
so you're talking about cash bail reform. Is that right, Javier?
Correct.
All right, so let me go down the horn here. The first candidate to respond to that would be Tilden Schaefer, Republican candidate for district attorney. Where are you on the cash bail reform movement?
Well, you know, that's something that it's not good to have somebody sitting in jail simply because they can't afford to make the bond. So we do have a personal recognizance or PR bond system. And I think it would probably be a good idea to go roll up the sleeves and let's look at that system and maybe put a little more discretion in the system. And that's really more a question for the judges because they're the ones that make the decisions on these bonds. I think as a district attorney, I would have faith in my prosecutors in court to make the right decision and to not just have it a one-size-fits-all because you shouldn't have somebody sitting in jail just because they can't afford to make the bond, whereas they could have otherwise.
All right, then. Now let's go to District Attorney, incumbent candidate Nico LaHood. Where are you on the movement to, and this is a growing movement, to do away or reform cash bond system?
I think it's a catch-22. First of all, we have to keep it in context. I mean, the bond issue is with a magistrate judge. I was a magistrate judge currently, not a long time ago, for 2 years. And the district court judges give us our bond schedules, exactly what we do on a third degree, second degree, first degree.
It's a menu, basically.
It's basically, and you have discretion, don't get me wrong. And the magistrate judge makes sure that the person knows their rights and then puts any reasonable conditions on bond. A bond is for two reasons. It's to make sure that somebody shows up to court, the citizen accused, and then also make sure that the citizen is protected so you can put conditions on the bonds. So to accuse the DA of not being involved with cash reform or bond reform is disingenuous by anybody because we're on the back end of the deal. We get the people once they come to court. Now, with that being said, it's a catch-22. You can't say you want to do away with cash bonds. There is some purpose for cash bonds. There is. Because you can't complain about jail population but then not have means to get people out in a safe and reasonable manner and then ensure that they come to court. So it's a balancing act, and it's a deep discussion that needs more than just a minute.
All right. We'll talk about it more. But let's go to Joe Gonzalez. Your turn for a minute. Talk about where you are on the reforms to the cash bond system.
Well, that's one of my platform issues, and I am in favor of either reducing or totally eliminating cash bonds for anyone that is not a violent offender. Clearly, the goal is to keep the community safe, but there are things that the DA's office could do at the front end because you have prosecutors that work at the intake, and they can DA can certainly agree to reduce bonds or even PR bonds. So I would be in favor of reducing or eliminating cash bonds because it benefits the rich and not the poor. The poor languish in jail while they're waiting for their day in court.
Okay. All right. So that wraps up the first round of questions. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're going to take a quick break now. We're talking with the candidates for district attorney in Bexar County. We've heard from Nico LaHood. He's incumbent Democratic candidate. Also, Joe Gonzalez is a Democratic candidate for the Bexar County district attorney. They're duking it out on the primary ballot. Also, we have with us is Tilden Schaefer. He's Republican candidate for Bexar County district attorney. So he's on the Republican ballot, but he's unopposed. And whoever wins the Democratic side will face Tilden in the November general election. You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. We're also on Facebook Live. You can comment your questions there, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're going to take a quick break, reset, and we'll be right back with more questions and answers from your candidates for district attorney. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the DA's race. The district attorney represents the state and victims of crime and prosecutions of felony and juvenile offenses committed in Bexar County. The DA also works with law enforcement officers and investigations of criminal cases, presents cases to the grand jury, represents victims of violence and protective orders, and represents the state in removing children from abusive households. So you can see that the district attorney has a lot lot of responsibility, comes in contact with a lot of people, sometimes at their time of the most dire need, particularly victims of crime. Who do you want to be your district attorney? Call in. If you got a question for all of our candidates, an open-ended question about an issue that you care about, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we're going to go with Nico LaHood. You're next up to answer first, the incumbent candidate, and let's go with Robert. And Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm interested in knowing what each one of these prosecutors feels about legalized cannabis.
Legalized cannabis. Okay, Robert, thank you so much for that question. And so Nico LaHood, Democratic incumbent candidate.
I've been on plenty of panel discussions about this. I am for medical marijuana. I've said that openly. I have a son that's on the spectrum of autism. I have seen the benefits of extracting the oil of marijuana, THC or CBD. There's 168 or 69 cannabinoids out there, and there is medical benefits to it. I have not seen the study, though, yet, that says that when you recreationally smoke marijuana, there's something molecularly happens to the marijuana when you smoke it versus extract the oil. That's something different. So I have used the discretion within the DA's office wisely, and my humble opinion, to have a cite and release program that is not trying to legalize anything. I'll let the state reps and the senators and the governor and lieutenant governor worry about that. But I'm using the discretion to start a cite and release program, but not just for marijuana, for theft, for criminal mischief, for driving while license invalid. So we have started for low-level nonviolent offenses, and we just kicked it off, and it took a long time to redo the whole computer system. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a lot of planning to work with the 47 different agencies, and we've kicked it off with BCS. So I would love to talk about this more, but a minute just doesn't do justice.
All right. We'll have more time later, yes, but sir. Now let's go to Joe Gonzalez to talk about your positions on legalization of marijuana.
Well, it's clear that that is the trend in this country. And there are several states that have now legalized marijuana, and so as the elected DA, we have to follow the law. But I do believe that that a lot can be done to reduce the criminalization of marijuana. And so I do believe that those are prime offenses for cite and release. I do believe that those are prime offenses for diversionary programs, even felony marijuana. If it's not an aggravated case, if nobody was hurt, I think that we ought to look at decriminalizing or reducing the criminalization of marijuana in Texas.
So just real quick, if you were elected DA, would you continue the cite and release program?
Absolutely, and I would increase it.
All right, let's go over to Tilden Schaefer, and he is the Republican running for the office. And go ahead, Mr. Schaefer.
Well, this is quite a bit to handle in the time I have. Look, two things in this answer. First of all, legalizing marijuana. We've got to look at issues of brain development. There's been great studies talking about individuals, particularly male individuals, until they're 25, and how marijuana use can greatly affect the development of the brain. I'm probably going to be looked at as the regressive candidate here because I'm going to state the obvious. Look, if I'm elected DA, I'm going to follow the law. Right now, it's against the law. If it changes, so be it. But I just, touching on cite and release, it is more than just marijuana. It's also theft and criminal destruction of property, okay? Look, I'm not going to be a mean DA, but I would be a tough DA. We're going to have, under my watch, I would have an expectation of lawfulness. Again, going back to what I said earlier about Giuliani in New York, this is the beginning where you can grab these people's attention, do the crime, there are consequences.
So real quick, just to cap, if you get elected DA, would you continue the cite and release program?
I would not continue that program as it is right now.
Okay. All right. That's good. I just wanted a simple answer for that. Now let's go back to the phone lines. If you want to call in, if you got a question for our candidates, and this is a question that all the candidates have got to be able to answer, the number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. And now let's go to Sarah. And hi, Sarah. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air, and Joe Gonzalez is going to be first to answer your question. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. This question is kind of a follow-up on the issue of demeanor. Do you feel that the perception of the district attorney's office and maybe the city of San Antonio is affected by media and social media comments? And should there be an accountability by separating personal belief comments from statements that are made as the district attorney.
All right. Thank you for that call, Sarah. And Joe Gonzalez, you're up.
If you're talking about the statements made by the district attorney, I absolutely think he's got the responsibility to make a responsible and professional comments. I don't, again, that's an issue that I'm running on. The DA does not need to be bullying parties in the criminal justice system. He does not need to be bullying victims or witnesses. And I think that's something that's an important aspect of this job as far as social media and the press. This is America, and the press has a right to freedom of speech. The problem we have with social media, as you can see with David's law, is that people can bully on social media, and that's created the problems that we have today. So we obviously need to address that. We need to address a better way to handle that.
Okay. All right. Now, Tilden Schaefer, again, more demeanor in office question, particularly about how a person uses their presence on social media and also using the office to promote things that may not be directly connected to the office.
This question, Sarah, goes to the heart of why I chose to run. You have to have a DA with an even and steady temperament. I have tried hundreds of violent crimes. I have faced evil. I have seen it on both sides of the aisle, in both sides of the courtroom. And I'm telling you, if you are going to lose it on social media, you're not going to be able to handle this job. The district attorney's office should be a professional office. It should be one that sets the tone for our criminal justice system. That's it. The people have to have confidence. This is a major metropolitan city, and right now I think the country's looking at us on our 300th anniversary, and I think they're laughing. And that's why I'm running, because this office and this community deserves so much better.
Okay, now Nicola Hood, sir.
Well, Sarah, thanks for the question. Anyone can go to my social media and just look at my demeanor. Look at the whole videos. If the videos are out there, they can see my responses to some ugly comments. I never erase any comments. I offer to meet with people, and I've actually met with people because of social media and dismissed cases because it was the right thing to do, or spoke with their lawyer, or met with witnesses, or followed their tips. So, look, the bottom line is the community doesn't need a doormat or a punching bag as a DA, and I don't know if that's what people want. I think this is a tough job. We all know that. I've done it. These guys haven't done it, and it's not easy. I've experienced evil when they murdered my brother in my driveway. I know what it's like to be victimized. I know what it's like to go through the justice system as someone that's been accused. I understand redemption, and that's why I've started the restorative justice programs that we've started. And then, and I want to make sure I answer all of Sarah's questions and personal beliefs. I mean, I get it. I'm very open about my faith. And I will say this unequivocally, I'm not going to waver on it. My faith directs me as a person, but as the DA, the law controls me. It's just that simple. The law is the law. I work for a lady with a blindfold. I've said that over and over again, and I think my actions have shown it. And to call me a bullying witness, that's just an indictment without any evidence, and I think that's a bad characteristic in a DA.
All right, just got a call from a question from a caller, and if you want to join in, the number is 210-614-8980. And Jody, you're on the air. Jody, and you're going to be asking your question to Republican Tilden Schaefer.
Hey, my question is, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick had the bathroom bill high on his agenda. Representative Joe Strauss helped to block it. If that were to be on his agenda again, would you support a transgender ban bathroom bill, and how would you enforce that in San Antonio?
All right. So the bathroom bill, we were told that was a public safety issue, and a district attorney handles public safety quite a bit. So can you talk about that, Tilden Schaefer? Where are you on the bathroom bill?
Well, again, this kind of bleeds back into the last question about personal belief versus policy opinions, and what is germane and relevant to being a DA. This is simple. If I'm district attorney, I have to enforce the law, period. End of story. I'm not a legislator. We have lawmakers in Austin that are going to be making that decision. Last time I checked, the district attorney's office was supposed to be enforcing the law and protecting the citizens of Bexar County. The law's the law. I enforce it. I don't get to choose which laws to enforce.
Okay. All right. Now, Nicola Hood, where this happened while you were in office, and mm-hmm. So you definitely looked at this issue. So where were you on the bathroom bill?
Well, if you notice, I didn't speak either side of the bathroom bill because it doesn't affect the office. I mean, again, We enforce the law. I mean, bottom line, I've talked about that over and over again. You can have an opinion all you want. Joe Tilden can have an opinion on a lot of different issues. But in the end of the day, can you set aside your opinions and follow the law? That's what our state representatives, our senators, like I said, our governor, lieutenant governor does. And that's end of story. I will follow evidence wherever it leads us when you're making an analysis of if there's a law that's good and beneficial to the whole community. And frankly, I mean, I didn't chime in on it because I didn't think it had anything to do with our office as it is now currently. And whatever they do in Austin, I will absolutely enforce the law as it's given to us.
Okay. Now, Joe Gonzalez, the bathroom bill, public safety issue, something that you would enforce?
Absolutely not. If you listen to what Nico just said, he didn't take a stance on it. He sidestepped it. He talked about following the law. But a DA, to be a responsible district attorney and lead this county, has to be able to take a stand. My stand is I would absolutely oppose a bathroom bill. Look, we have more important things to be doing to fight crime than to worry about who's going and using the bathroom. And I think that's a ridiculous time, a waste of time in the legislature, and I would absolutely oppose that. And again, I think the DA needs to step up and take a position on it.
Okay, and now let's go to another caller, and this is George. And George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, yes. I just want to ask the candidates what their positions were on SB4.
Okay, SB4. SB4 is known as the Show Me Your Papers bill or the law, or some people call it the Sanctuary Cities law. And so that also falls into this, where are you going to be as using your prosecutorial discretion in working on some cases? And so, Nico LaHood, you're first on SB4.
Yeah, that bill actually affected us. I mean, that was basically saying that elected officials cannot speak out and have an opinion or a policy in your office about speaking out about how ICE or federal agents should act within our courthouses, and that applied to the sheriff and to the chief. I mean, you can look it up. I mean, it was in the paper, it wasn't any of the news. I mean, I was on the courthouse steps with Chief McManus and Judge Wolf saying, look, this bill wasn't written the way it should have been written to accomplish whatever they were trying to accomplish. It's not a practical bill. I opposed it in the sense of we believed it was illegal, and actually the county filed a lawsuit on it. We led that lawsuit, obviously, and we're working with other outside counsel as well to make sure that that happens, because we think it overreaches into the authority of county officials and city officials, for that matter, to include Chief McManus and Sheriff Salazar. And I've been on many panel discussions analyzing the bill and why it's not a practical bill and why it doesn't accomplish what they want it to accomplish. And neither do we have the laws in the state legislature, in the state laws, to hold anybody that's here illegally. So it's just a bill that's not even practical.
Okay, now Joe Gonzalez, SB4.
All right, now SB4 punishes or sanctions local law enforcement for identifying whether a detainee or someone who's stopped is a citizen or not. That's the function of federal law enforcement. That's not the function of local county law enforcement, and SB4 sanctions that. So I am against SB4 because what happens is it creates a chilling effect. Those individuals that may be undocumented are not going to come out of the shadows because they're afraid they're going to be held for ICE and potentially be deported. This is a bad bill, and we need to fight against it. And I certainly have gone on record as being opposed to SB4.
All right. And now we go to Tilden Schaefer, the Republican in the race. Go ahead, sir.
So, again, you know, this is a situation where as an elected DA, if it's the law, you have to follow it, okay? If you're asking me what my personal opinion is, it doesn't matter, because as elected DA, you have to follow what the law is. This is a tricky issue, and we all know that, because there are violent crimes where people are undocumented, and that could have a chilling effect. So this is something that I would certainly join and look at very, very carefully, but at the end of the day, if it's been passed as the law, I can't stand up and say I'm not going to follow the law.
But Travis, it has been passed in the law. It is law.
Yeah. So Travis County, the sheriff said she's not going to do it. Then they made it very clear she'd be prosecuted, and she backed off. So we're getting back to this intersection of personal versus policy, public policy. And at the end of the day, as a DA, the people just expect someone to enforce the law.
Okay, and we have another caller. And if you want to call in, the number is 210-614-8980. A reminder that this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking with the candidates for district attorney in Bexar County. Early voting starts tomorrow. We're joined by Nicola Hood. He's the incumbent and Democratic candidate. And with Joe Gonzalez, he's a challenger on the Democratic ballot in the primary. Tilden Schaefer is a Republican candidate. He's unopposed in the primary, and he will meet the winner of the Democratic primary in the general election. And Pablo is on the line. Pablo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is regarding the disparate sentencing of porn minorities in particular and the impact that it has on our community. Bexar County is already one of the lowest places that vote. And if you're convicted, you're poor, you don't have equitable access to a well-prepared attorney who, in this case, public defender, is doing pro bono work. What are you guys proposing, or what are we doing, Nego, to ensure that poor minorities are not being stuck in a system that penalizes them egregiously hard, and then in many instances double jeopardy where they lose the right to vote? I'll take myself off the air now.
Okay, Pablo, thank you for that. And so it's going to be Joe Gonzalez's turn first to answer that question. So what are we doing? I mean, I think that goes to the heart of where are we in with our public defender's office in Bexar County.
Well, I think that part of the problem is the way the DA's office is run, and that's part of my platform on restorative justice. I think a person's background and a person's citizenship does come into play when they go to court and a public defender decides how to resolve a case. A lot of times, these court-appointed lawyers don't realize the immigration consequences to resolving cases. One of the things I would do in that office is give my prosecutor intensive training about the immigration consequences, because a lot of undocumented individuals that come from this country are poor. Even citizens that are poor, if they don't have the wherewithal to hire an attorney, they're going to, after they sit in jail court for, or rather in jail for two or three months, they're going to go to jail court. They're going to take the quickest plea they can so they can get out of there and go back home. So I definitely think that's a problem that needs to be resolved in this county.
Okay, and now Tilden Schaefer, where are we with helping the poor and indigent in Bexar County having a good defense?
Okay, so right now we have a voluntary system in a sense. If you're an attorney, you can choose to participate in the court-appointed attorney system. In addition to that, in a situation like mine, I actually will take pro bono cases from time to time because I believe in a fair and, you know, meaningful defense for everyone. I want to draw on another issue, and that's integrity. And it has to do with getting back to demeanor and character. When I was a prosecutor, I was known as a tough prosecutor, but who was compassionate in the right circumstances. As a district attorney, I would imbue that character in my line DAs in court to not take advantage of individuals in those situations. But the bottom line is if you've committed a crime, you're going to have to do the time. You're going to have to pay some kind of consequences sometime. But we need to take a very close look at this. If you want to put in a public defender's office, then this county better be ready to spend a ton of money on an office, because it has to have equal funding as a DA's office, which is about, what, $39 million a year?
Okay. All right. And so, Nicola Hood, where are we about giving the poor a fair defense?
Pablo, great question. And I can talk to you in detail about it whenever you want, if you reach out to me on social media, or we can meet again with these guys in an open forum discussion. I don't know how I got accused of cite and release and how this turned into a question and how Joe attacks me on his answer. But let me tell you, I've been working on this for 3 years. We have a public defender's office, Tilden. It's already here. It's only there for a lower level amount of cases, a small amount of cases. But I was instrumental working with the commissioners to bring in a public defender's office. Our pretrial diversion programs are offered to everybody. We've expanded pretrial diversion already. We're already doing that in the felony level. So we're already expanded it to the felony level. We've expanded our veterans court to the felony level. We've expanded all restorative justice pieces, programs, the Esperanza court, the mental health docket, and I can go on and on. Matter of fact, as part of the cite and release program, when someone's given a summons and they eventually show up to court, there's the public defender there. Joe and Tilden, the public defender's there to make sure that people don't do something that's going to affect them later on, and they have free legal advice. They don't have to do an expunction if they follow the program. Their case never gets even filed. It's a cite and release program that hasn't been done in the state ever before, and we're proud of it. We put a lot of time into it.
Okay.
I should briefly respond. I mean, we have a public defender. It's a very small office.
Well, we do have one.
We have a public defender. We have a public defender office, Tilden.
And I'm aware of it.
Okay.
I know.
Well, you said
I
we didn't have one.
I know Andrew Fletcher. We don't have a true
office. I know.
Office.
Okay. We do have a public defender's office. Yeah, it may not be as robust as you would probably think we ought to have. And some people would be agree with that. All right. So let's go to another question. And the phone lines are open as we're wrapping up the hour. We're with our candidates for district attorney. So let me go. So we have an opioid crisis here across the United States. We're seeing it here in Texas as well. And so we're kind of wondering, what can the district attorney do? You talk about, I've heard a lot of the word compassion being used here. Is there a role that the district attorney can have in trying to make sure that we have an effective response for an opioid crisis? And so, Tilden Schaefer, you go first, sir.
Well, I think this is a situation where there's going to be an intersection between federal and state law and enforcement, and that's where you're going to want someone who's had experience in both of those arenas, has the relationships with people in both of those areas, because this is a tragedy. It's been a situation where these people have been over prescribed medication. It's become obvious that it's highly addictive. Otherwise, very normal people who have just slipped into addiction. It's something that we really need to look at and come up with a systemic approach. And I think we're going to have to do that hand in hand with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Okay. Nico LaHood?
I disagree with that. We don't. I mean, we have to deal with it ourselves. We don't have to rely on the feds to do what we need to do here locally. And we filed a lawsuit. Bexar County filed a lawsuit because we know that these opioids are a problem. They're in that family, the opioid problem, and it's highly addictive in Bexar County. And this is something we should not be proud of. It's something that should concern all of us. We're number two and three, it depends on the stat you look at, of children born with a substance reliance on opioids. They're born that way, our children. Because we wonder why we take so many children from CPS, Child Protective Services, away from parents, and then people complain about that, but then we know we have a high level of children born with substance abuse and going through withdrawals from opioids. That's a fact. And so we filed a lawsuit to hold companies reliable, and we cannot be controlled by or be a puppet by big pharma companies or big lawsuits or PACs or whatever, or individuals that have a say-so in what we want to do when it's going to protect our citizens. And a DA does have to be tough and can't dance around issues on something that absolutely affects us. And we've worked with the city and the county. We've put a task force together, and we are collectively attacking this issue, and one of those things is with a lawsuit.
All right, and so Joe Gonzalez, what can the district attorney's office do to try to mediate the opioid crisis?
Well, again, after having done this for so long, for 30 years now, I learned early on in handling and both prosecuting and defending drug cases that there's only two reasons to be involved with drugs. It's either need or greed. And if it's greed, there's not much you can do to rehabilitate greed. But if it's need, then you have to look at the core reasons for someone possessing drugs. And I think that the DA's office can do a lot to rehabilitate those individuals. They can do a lot to screen those individuals as part of the probationary offer. And certainly there's a lot that can be done to avoid convictions, and let's get people the help that they need so that they can get off of these drugs. And so that's something I would be doing in that office.
All right, another problem that San Antonio, Bexar County is plagued with is sex trafficking. We know it is a major issue and that the district attorney's office can play a major role in investigations and prosecutions and trying to help the victims of sex trafficking. And so, Nico LaHood, you're first. What can be done?
Well, we have a sex trafficking unit. We take it serious. I mean, I've said this over and over again. We're on the front lines dealing with this. And that's where, Tilden, you can work with our federal partners because we're part of these different task forces that attack sex trafficking and human trafficking. And it's real. My opponent in a primary debate the other day said about he's not going to prosecute prostitution anymore. That should be an issue. And if
okay.
You,
well, let me give him a chance to respond to that.
Okay.
Okay. You got 30 seconds to respond really quick, you Joe Gonzalez.
Yeah. No, what I said is I'm not going to jail prostitutes. There's a way to rehabilitate them. There's a way to treat their core problems, including being victims of human trafficking. Well, so that's what.
Okay.
That's what
okay.
We're already doing that. We're already doing that with the Esperanza Court. So that's something we're already doing,
okay,
David.
Okay. So let me go over to Tilden to respond really quick, and we got to get to closing comments.
Okay.
So real quickly, Tilden, where are you? What can the DA do to try and deal with sex trafficking?
Well, I think, and I agree with Nico, that, you know, we have to have this liaison with the federal government because they have a lot more resources there. And I would note that this program, the infancy of this program actually started years ago with a judge that we lost, unfortunately, last cycle, Judge Laura Parker, who had a wonderful program dealing with young women caught up
I mean, lost. I mean, she's out of office.
She, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. I was like, oh no, not Laura Parker.
She's so, no, okay. Sorry. Okay, it's like Mark Twain. Yeah. No. Yes. She lost an election.
But, okay. All right. So I'm going to go over now to closing comments. You know, you all get a minute to sort of wrap things up and make your final pitch to listeners. And I appreciate all you guys being here this afternoon to try to tell everyone that this is an important race we all got to follow. Let's go first now with Joe Gonzalez, sir. You have 1 minute.
Thank you very much, and I want to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to be here and address these issues. Again, I am running on my experience. I'm running on the fact that I had come to this job with prosecutorial experience. I have 8 years working under three different administrations. Before I became a defense lawyer, had well over 100 jury trials under my belt. I will continue to fight hard for this office. I'm running because it's time for change. It's time to bring real effective leadership. It's time to improve the culture in the DA's office. And with your help and your vote, we can make that change together. So ask for your vote March 6th. Do not forget that early voting starts tomorrow. I appreciate your support.
All right, Joe Gonzalez, Democratic challenger for the district attorney's office. Let's go to the Republican who is not challenged in the Republican primary, but go ahead, sir, Tilden Schaefer.
Thank you, Dave, and I do appreciate this opportunity to speak and answer these questions. Look, in these trying times of mass shootings and rising murder rates in Bexar County in the last couple of years, you need a DA with true depth of experience in all areas of criminal justice system. This is including violent crimes, white collar, child abuse, sexual assault, in the federal, state, and juvenile law systems. And these are just to name a few of them. These are all areas that I have had that experience. In the federal side, on the white collar, and in particular in juvenile, and in the fact that I am the only candidate here who can say he's an expert in criminal law by bar ethic rules, because I'm the only candidate who's board certified here in criminal law. You deserve better. You deserve a DA who has this experience, who has that temperament and even-handed approach to casework and administration and management of this office, a very large office. You need to be tough on crime, but you need to be able to have the wisdom and experience to be compassionate when it counts.
Tilden Schaefer, thank you so much. Now to close out, this is Nicola Hood, incumbent Democratic candidate for Bexar County District Attorney.
And David, it's unfortunate that this campaign has turned into name-calling, especially by my primary opponent, but just in general. And they're running, with all due respect, they're running on stuff that we've already done. So we have to think about what we've already done. Conviction Integrity Unit, that's been established. Cyber Forensic Units have been established. Child Abuse Unit, and our statistics speak for themselves. We have to protect our children. Domestic Violence Task Force, the Law Enforcement Integrity Unit to make sure people are held accountable. Major Crimes Unit to address the violent crimes in our community. Vehicular Crimes Unit, not to mention working with over 474 employees, and that takes a lot to deal with a $39 million budget and all the different agencies that you deal with. Homicides are down by 16%. We look at the Uniform Crime Reports because we're working synergistically with all those agencies, working together, no one trying to get the attention, but working together to protect our community. And Part 1 crimes in the UCR report are down. Rape, robbery, burglary, aggravated assault, vehicle theft, those are all down by over 6 to 12%. And so we know that for a fact. So I'm humbled that I've been your DA, and I look forward to, God willing, and with your vote and help, to continue to serve you in the future.
Nicola Hood, thank you so much. We've also heard from Joe Gonzalez, a Democratic challenger, Tilden Schaefer, Republican candidate. This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.